Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good morning to you all. It is Thursday, and I am glad to be alive in Christ. The old song that we sang as young evangelists on the traveling circuit, my friend Garland and I, we would sing, "I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind." Okay. Well, it's true. When you are immersed, buried and raised with Christ and living in Christ, you do wake up with heaven on your mind. Now, does that mean there's no earthly trials that try to, you know, sidetrack us, get our attention distracted? Sure, that goes on all the time. But what it does, it refocuses us back on the main thing, which is Christ-centered lifestyle. I'm George Watkins. If you're new to our broadcast, thanks for coming by. This is our Thursday broadcast, and we're on every morning. You are invited. There is plenty of seats left. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the book of Ephesians in just a moment, fourth chapter, and I want to talk to you about the heavenly rescue mission. We were rescued by Christ. Let's just take a look at it for a moment. And I want to talk to you about the current, permanent situation and lifestyle that we live right now. Much of the church and the church's attention, sadly to say, has been diverted to something in the future. It's a lot of it is involved in the eschatology subject. That means the teaching of last days. Well, the current interpretations, theology, whatever you say, really started about 200 years ago and was emphasized and magnified by some powerful voices. And a Bible was put together with side notes that made a big deal, impressing our American church at least, so that the future events were more important than the present current lifestyle of the believer. And what do I mean by that? I was raised under much of that, a little variation, because we were not looking for a secret rapture. We were looking for the coming of the Lord. But in essence, we kept looking and looking and looking. Our focus was always on the going home. Someday when we're in heaven, someday when Jesus comes, someday we'll all have peace. Someday when I die, I'll be healed. All the future, the church was focused on the future. Spent a lot of time thinking about getting out of here, and not much time thinking about repairing the ship that we're on, which is the earth. And that's what God sent and put Adam and Eve on the earth for. And that was to dominate, rule, cultivate, and cover it with imagers of God. Children of Adam and Eve were going to be a replication of their spiritual and physical persons. And they were going to fill the earth with God's imagers, or the image of God on earth. Well, Adam was sidetracked. He was, you know, got his attention off of his goal, and he got deceived. And because of that, he was captured by the present spirits in the earth. There were other sons of God that had been put on the earth, had been created. God gave them the ability to do things, and they did the same thing Adam did. They rebelled. Well, now, with that scattering thoughts, shotgun from the hip, I'll tell you that one. Let me just catch it in Ephesians 4, and let's look at the rescue mission of Christ. Why did Christ come? Why did he come? Well, I told you last few days, he didn't come just to heal the sick or raise the dead. He didn't even come to get you saved so you wouldn't go to hell. He came to rescue you from the bondage that you were under and in. You were captives. You were slaves. You were under the hand of the enemy. And you had no hope, you had no future, and you had no help outside of God's help. God knew that. That's why Jesus was sacrificed before the foundations of the earth. That meant he, in advance, like I said yesterday on the program, in advance, God prepared ahead of time so that that would be taken care of. The covenant would not be broken. So let's pick it up in the fourth chapter. And I'm just going to, this is the Passion Bible. I've got my Passion Bible and my Mirror Translation, or paraphrased. And let's just read a bit out of here. Let's pick it up in the sixth verse. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, and one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all. Who leads us all, works through all us all, and lives in us all. All right, it's early, so my lips are catching up with my brain. Now, and he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. Now listen to this. This is the these small prints in this Passion Bible. This is why he says he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and gifts were given to men. Or the translation of that is that men were given as gifts. Men were given as gifts. And then we get into the prophets and apostles and the pastors. They were given as gifts. Okay, let me just take this again. Now listen, this is good. If he ascended, he first of all descended. Now the King James says he descended into the lower parts of the earth. So there's some theology that talks about going to hell. Well, let's not go there right now. Let's talk about coming to earth. Now, why did he come to earth? He came to earth to rescue you and I from the hand of the enemy. Now, this is good. Listen to this. And he ascended. He ascended means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even to the lower regions, namely earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. Listen to this. God ordained something in Genesis 1 that was not fulfilled through the Old Testament. There were attempts at it in different sections where God visited again, reordained and reinitiated with Moses and Adam and David and the prophets and all those things. But it never came together until Christ in Matthew 4 said there was a great light came to a people that were bound up in darkness all their life. A great light came. That was Christ when he came. And that's when he descended from the heavenlies. Now, you and I have been created in the heavenlies, and we became captives. Now, he is appointed, let's see here, the same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. All right, let's look at that same verse in the Mirror Bible. And I should have had it marked, but we'll find it here while you're warming your coffee up in Ephesians 4. And we pick it up again in the eighth verse. Ephesians 4. Now the Mirror Bible is a paraphrase. It's a little different than a direct translation, but some good stuff in here. I'm in 4. Scripture confirms that he led us as trophies in his triumphant procession on high, he repossessed his gifts in human forms. All right. We were repossessed, and he led captivity. We were captive. He led them as a procession back into the heavenlies. Now, take a picture of Rome in the Roman days when the general would have a battle and he had great victory. He would gather the spoils and everything that he captured, and they would march in through the gate of Rome in a procession of triumphant victory. That's the picture Paul is painting in Ephesians. When Christ came and he ascended back to the heavenlies, we see that picture in the end of Mark, when he ascended and the cloud, he was on a cloud, that was the cloud of witnesses, that was the 500 or more that had been raised from the dead, and they were a cloud going home. He came back through to the Father through the gates of eternal heaven as a victory procession. Oh, glory to God. I love the early mornings. Procession. Take a picture of it. That's you and I. We were captives, and he came and captured us as captives and led the captivity freed, and we were no longer captives. All right. Now, Ephesians 2 and 6 in the Mirror Bible. Let's take a peek at that. 2 and 6. This is just good stuff. If you don't have a Mirror Bible or a Passion Bible, it's a good addition to your library and to your studies. Amen. 2 and 6. We are co-included in his resurrection. We are also elevated in his ascension to be equally present in the throne room of the heavenly realm, where we are co-seated with him in his executive authority. We are fully represented in Christ Jesus. Oh my, would I love to take a hold of some of your lapels and just give you a good wake-up call, because this is where we're at now. Now, I know the distractions. Fear and torment and sickness and poverty and family strife and lack of work and hungry. All those are physical experiences we have. But my friends, you are not a body. You're not just flesh and blood. You are a spirit, and your spirit is the center of everything that is important, because it is the one that is eternal. The body will fade, grow older, someday step into another place, but your spirit is already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, why is that important? Because you see differently when you're up higher. You see differently when you're higher up in the mountain or in an airplane or, you know, standing on the fence, whatever it is, you see different than down below when you can't see. That's why we walk by faith and know that our spirits are bilocated. I'm in here, my body's full of it, or at least my spirit is here. Like Adam, my spirit's around me. It's covering me also. However, my spirit is also bilocated, according to Paul's writings in Ephesians, in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and all the things that try to rule the world. I am above that. Wow. Now, isn't that amazing? I tell you, there are things in the scriptures that just knock you out of the park. Knock you out of the park. Amen. That's an old baseball term, in case you have been housebound too long. Amen. I'm not laughing at that. I'm kind of at that place too at times. All right. 2 and 6 in the Passion Bible. Hallelujah. I'm doing a little Bible study today, so it's a little different approach, or I should say display of our video. Let me pick it up in six here. He raised us up. This is the Passion Bible. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Oh, listen to it again. That's just too good to miss, to go by one time. We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority. Okay, we're going to sign off here in a minute, but I got to leave you with some homework. Number one, do you believe you have been born again? Now, why? Well, you know that. That's elementary. Jesus came, forgave us his sins, and now we are Christians, born again. He loves us. We love him. Good. Okay. Do you believe that when you die, you will step into an eternal home, which we refer to as heaven? Okay, we got that. Now, let's put the third element in there. I want you to have that same physical, mental, emotional, spiritual sense, grab a hold of it, that you are now seated with him in heavenly places in a seat of authority so that you can pray differently, see differently, worship differently. Wow. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. Well, I've preached myself happy. I pass this on to you. Let's live in the current moment with the anointing and the realization that we are also living in the reality of our eternal home with Jesus in Christ in heavenly places. Okay, thank you for shouting with me this morning. And don't forget, subscribe, like us on Facebook. And thank you for your comments. Thank you for your sharing and all the things you do that helps us on this internet business. Thank you for your prayers, especially. Those are so important. And if God's nudged you to give a financial blessing, thank you for that. We receive it. And you can do that with the notes below. Okay. Hey, tomorrow morning, bright and early, is Friday. And I always love Friday because it gives us a good word to go into the weekend with. Until then, may the Lord bless you.